Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Shanghai Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Some show notes for you if you're looking for wrestling tonight. You have WCWO at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, Indiana. WTF in Carmel, Indiana. UCW featuring Casey Carlisle in Dwindle, Virginia. PSW in Piedmont, Alabama. Sizzling Stan Styles, Intergender Bonanza tonight in Williamstown, New Jersey. Tomorrow night, there is a combined promotion card. Northwest Pro Wrestling and NGW Northwest bringing in Sin Bodhi and Short Sleeve Samson. And that's going to be in Auburn, Washington. You can find myself there as well. Woo America in Bremerton, also featuring Sin Bodhi. Lucha Libre Portland in Gresham, Oregon. UCW returning for a second night in Dwindle, Virginia. Gouge making its debut in Benson, North Carolina. And SPW tomorrow night in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. QT sounds like a full night of professional wrestling here in the next couple of days.
Listening, guys.
I'm excited for Sin Bodhi wrestling in Auburn. And speaking of Sin Bodhi and Pa Moonshine, they had the first ever, and this was quite historic, compare and contrast, bring on the choice, bring on the funks. And the results were published on the Book of Faces. I think your Facebook page. Or it might have been mine.
I think you answered it in a reply to a post completely unrelated.
Things got off to a quick start, Sign Guy, when I gave Pa Moonshine and Sin Bodhi the choice of drop toe hold or crippler crossface, and I was stunned when both Pa Moonshine and Sin Bodhi picked crippler crossface.
Now, do you think that that's because that's the hold they would go into after applying the drop toe hold?
Ooh, interesting.
That's a very spicy question. I don't know. How could you, as a referee, survive if Sin Bodhi came to the ring in a bad mood and was enraged by a decision that you made as a referee and got you in a crippler crossface?
That would be illegal. He would be instantly disqualified. And I say that without the slightest bit of hesitation.
Yes, and you weren't censored either.
Very accurate.
And speaking of which, I'd encourage all our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, and I hope this includes the Fallen Flower, Kikyo, to look at our latest Sign of the Times, I Was Censored by a Car Horn. Yes.
Well, that is not the latest episode, of course.
I believe, and now I cannot prove, but I'm going to try to ask for tape on the security cameras. I believe Sunny Days was in a bus, and she maybe honked the horn that censored me. It was maybe Sunny Days.
Are you going to confront Sunny Days with this and demand she answer you? Possibly in a town tomorrow.
Well, as part of the Coast Guard security, I have ways of extracting information out of people with sly questions. I may ask, for instance, did you happen to be in the Northwest 2 weeks ago on a cold night, and maybe you were sitting in a bus and accidentally honked the horn? Accidentally, underlined. she doesn't.
I see. Now, QT, that, of course, a couple of weeks ago, what did you think of episode 397, The Heart Gimmick Edition? I was with a very disclosed Randy the Pimp Taylor.
Oh, now, that was Randy the Pimp Taylor was in a sunny disposition. Yes. Many,
is that
many
a Sunny Days reference?
Yes. Yes. I may have enlisted the help of Randy the Pimp in finding out who censored me with a car horn, Randy the Pimp. In fact, I just sent out a message to him before we came online asking for his surveillance help. Who censored me?
Oh, okay. Any response yet?
No response. It's been kind of slow. He may be at a coffee shop relaxing, unwinding from his various pimp duties. Yes.
Hopefully.
Pimp duties. Now, sign number two on the first ever compare and contrast. I asked a single leg takedown, or I don't want to go over with that one. I'll go to the third one. I presented both Sin Bodhi and Pa Moonshine with the choice Scottish kilt or three piece Armani suit. Guess who picked the Scottish kilt? Although you probably listened to the broadcast anyway.
Sin Bodhi.
Oh, of course. And guess who picked the three-piece
Armani
suit?
Well, QT, it looks like our guest is here, and I want to bring him on right away here. And we are very pleased to bring the promoter of Reactivate Pro Wrestling over in the Tri-Cities area of Washington. Aaron Grossarth, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing very well. And since today is your first day with us, we are starting you out with our traditional first-timers question today. What led you to get into the business of professional wrestling?
I started out as a young fan. She watched every single day, all the time. I grew up fascinated by her passion just about as much as I did the business. So I got into it at a really young age and knew at a young age it was something that I wanted to be involved with.
You actually had an in-ring career at one point in time. You were an active in-the-ring wrestler. What led you to decide that was the original path you wanted to take? What drove you to get in the ring and do the in-ring yourself?
It was what I always wanted to do. That was always the part of it where I wanted to be involved with. I think my involvement with the business at the time, there was a, they call it kind of the dark ages of professional wrestling in Washington State. I had a lot of growing up to do. I mean, in hindsight, I look back and, there's a lot of times I should have shut my mouth and done what I was told.
Your current career path in wrestling is completely different than what it was originally. You have started up Reactivate Pro Wrestling, which started earlier this year and has now ran several shows in Tri-Cities. What, at the point in time you were thinking about getting into that aspect of wrestling, made you think that was the best decision for you?
Well, I think as I've after kind of stepping away from wrestling for a long time, running businesses and
I think the business side of it, of professional wrestling, started to appeal to me as I got a little older.
And it's always kind of on my mind as something that I wanted to try my hand at. And I'm glad I did. I've had a really good time. I've had a lot of fun doing this.
Now, Reactivate Pro Wrestling runs mainly in Richland, Washington at Joker's Comedy Club, which is a very unique venue. It is a nightclub, and we set the ring there sort of in the middle of a big room. There's a bar right there adjacent to where the wrestling arena portion is. Wrestlers come down from a stage in order to get to the ring. There is a booth for the ring announcer and the timekeeper and so forth to sit if they so desire. Very unique looking venue, which looks really good in video. How did the relationship between yourself and Jokers come to be?
Well, originally, so one of our mainstays there at Reactivate Professional Wrestling, Mikey the Mustache Selleck, his head of security, DeMond. I've got a relationship with the ownership there already. And so DeMar and I got talking and decided that it would be a good venue.
The ownership there at Jokers is very accommodating. They're super excited about what we're doing. Very involved. The security team is
top notch, and it's been a lot of fun. I think it's been a lot of fun for them too.
I think the fans definitely enjoy it. Now, as a promoter in Tri-Cities, you have a little bit of a disadvantage compared to promoters, say, in the Seattle area or Portland, Oregon, or places like that where wrestlers aren't really living there as much as other cities. There's a few wrestlers in that area, but not a lot of them, not enough to put on a complete show. Have you had a lot of trouble scouting talent? Was the scouting process a little bit harder for you than you think it would have been if you had opened up in a different location?
Not necessarily. I think what kind of helped out was being that I used to travel quite a bit myself. I've been able to have expectations are when they come in, when they go out. And what's nice is that the Tri-Cities is kind of a hub. 2.5 hours from Spokane, 4 hours to Boise. So we're kind of in the middle of everything. It would be, you know, it is nice. We've got a couple of guys that are closer. But I think a lot of what we've seen is a lot of the talent that we have used from Seattle and Portland in particular, really just getting out of the area and being somewhere different in front of a different crowd that doesn't necessarily know who they are forces them to up their game quite a bit. And I think a lot of them love the challenge.
Now, obviously, putting together a brand-new promotion meant you had to assemble a roster from scratch, and that oftentimes for a new promoter is a daunting task, especially if you've been out of the business for a length of time. You aren't necessarily up to date on who is current, who may or may not be drawing a lot of money at this point. Who would be available, who wouldn't be, that type of thing. So it's from a ground zero position for a new promoter to assemble his roster. What was your process like going in, getting not only wrestlers, but the referees, the ring crew, the ring announcer, and the timekeeping? How did you go about getting everybody that you have as part of Reactivate Pro?
Well, my team is unique. I mean, two of us are here locally, and then we have a couple of guys helping out as well. Two members of my team, one is in Spokane, one is in the Seattle area. We all came together a while ago via Facebook Messenger and shot some ideas off and talked about talent. And I had been to a few shows and caught up with a few guys before we launched that I knew that I wanted to bring in. And so we had chatted as well through Messenger. And so Facebook Messenger for me has been the big go. And it's how I've kept a lot of communication. And unfortunately, in some cases, it's how, you know, some of the talent I wanted to bring in didn't read my Facebook messages. And so then now after the fact, so we've had a few trials that way, but overall, I think especially after the first couple of shows, I mean, the excitement really grew amongst wrestlers in those areas and hearing about how much fun that, you know, some of these talented were having getting out of their comfort zones and traveling and doing stuff. And so we've had a good time. I mean, we've run into a couple of issues, and anytime you have a new thing, you're going to have growing pains. And I think every show we've hit something new, you know, and I've had to learn something. But the upside is that I'm able to write that down, remember that, you know, it's a small hurdle and it's something that we can put behind us and move forward. And so we've had some pretty good luck with the talent, with people overall.
You've had a few people on your roster that have gone to, I don't want to say bigger, better things, but they've gone on to more national-based opportunities. Danica De La Rouge, who was in your last main event days later, was in a WWE locker room as an extra, and she's done that a few times now. One of your senior officials, Aubrey Edwards, has moved on to All Elite Wrestling. She's no longer able to come to Reactivate Pro, but she is on national television every single week, and her praises are being sung by the likes of Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone on a weekly basis now. What's it like when you see people that are working for you going on to the national stage in such a short order?
I feel super blessed about that stuff. I mean, I feel like when something like that happens, I know that I talked to the right person at the right time and had them come in. I will say this, and I will say this to anyone who will listen, that Reactivate Professional Wrestling would not be what it is without referee Aubrey Edwards in particular. What I learned from her just in the first couple of shows was as valuable as anything I've learned in my entire, you know, adult life. She was a great, great, great information. And anytime I needed something, she was there either with an answer or, you know, to tell me to take a breath. And Danica, I had actually worked with Danica before we launched Reactivate. I had worked with her in BLW in Yakima a little bit and had seen her work before. And technically, when we went up to help out with the Hop Nation Brewery show, she worked for us there. And so that was, you know, kind of the start of our business relationship was we knew that she was going to be coming down to the Tri-Cities at some point in time. And, you know, great talent. I always wish all of them the best. And like I said, we've had such a good time picking out some of these people and having them come down. And really, again, once they're out of their comfort zones, it's amazing how talented some of these people really are.
Oh, we talked about referee Aubrey Edwards. I've said from day one when I first saw her, she is quite good. I think that the wrestling business as a whole now is seeing how good she is. A lot of people say she's the best female ref in the business. I say they have to take the female portion away. She's one of the best referees in the business, regardless of any gender or any qualification to it. When you watch someone like that, and she's only under 3 years into her professional career, and she has done the things that she's done, and you had the opportunity to have someone like that helping out on your show and possibly educating and helping out your roster to grow your company in the short time she was with it. What do you think an advantage like that means to someone that is basically a brand new company, someone that's not even got to the first year and they have already grown as much as they have?
Well, yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think as far as referees go, she's definitely a top tier referee. And I think that, you know, not even just All Elite Wrestling and WWE, but I think, you know, MLW and the NWA and Ring of Honor and all these guys really need to look at not only Aubrey Edwards, but also the areas she's been, the people that she's worked with, the people who have helped shape who she is. You really can't sleep on a lot of this area anymore. I mean, you know, she worked with us. She worked with, you know, obviously like tons and tons of work with Without a Cause and 3-2-1 Battle and with Prestige. And you've got all of these other referees who she's worked with, including, you know, those who trained her and those that she trained after the fact that are coming up. I feel like just because of that alone and how talented she is and like how good, you've got to look at the area that, that helped shape her as well and see, you know, the talent that we have. There's so many fantastic referees and performers in the Pacific Northwest that, you know, I think you can say a lot of these, it's a great community. A lot of these people have so much influence on each other and how great they become. And again, they become such great people as far as help and all these different things. So yeah, we're very truly blessed to have had her for our first two shows, have her refereeing for us. And again, I personally feel blessed because of the information that, and the things that I learned from her just in a short time.
Absolutely. She's absolutely tremendous, and great to see her on my television screen every week for sure. One of the aspects of Reactivate Pro Wrestling that you have launched into is the merchandising in. There's several T-shirts available, hats, things of that nature. The wrestlers themselves bring merchandise and sell that during the course of the show, and they go out at intermission and stay after the show to sign whatever people might buy that they want autographed. Reactivate Pro has its own line of merchandise as a company. How important has the merchandising in been for your company to this point?
The merchandising has been super important. Like with anybody and any of the wrestlers or any of the other promotions is, you know, you need that support of the fans and you need that support from people to be able to do what you're doing. And, you know, for us, we look at some of the merchandising, but one of the reasons I opened up the store for wrestlers to put things up of their own is a wrestler, because I am not in Seattle, because I'm not in Portland, because I'm not in even Spokane, the ability to sell merchandise is something that I gauge a lot of what I do on, is I'm looking at those things and what's selling and who's coming to the shows wearing what shirt, you know, gauging just how, I almost don't want to use the term this way, but the value that a particular talent brings to Reactivate Pro. And I love to see our fans who don't know these guys. I mean, that, the thing about wrestling here in the Twin Cities is there hasn't been anything for a long time in this area. So the fans who are coming out to our shows, in a lot of cases, are not independent wrestling fans. They were looking for something to do and fell in love with an amazing, you know, with what they consider an amazing product, and they continue to come back. And so we use a lot of the merchandise to gauge, you know, who the fans are behind, what kind of things we should be looking at, other opportunities that we have that maybe that didn't present themselves naturally that we're looking for guidance on. So yeah, merchandising has been super important for Reactivate Professional Wrestling. And we've got such great designers and people behind the company that are doing a lot of good things. And trying new stuff, and I'm super happy with it, with where it's all going.
Another aspect of professional wrestling that has been making a lot of people a lot more revenue recently is streaming. A lot of independent companies have gotten on board with this and stream their shows either live or after the fact on various streaming services. Is streaming something that you've looked into at this point, or is it something that you don't feel it would be a good fit for what you're trying to do?
Actually, streaming's very high on my list. I've had some conversations with a few people that are putting some things together that potentially Reactivate Pro could be the guinea pig for. Different various platforms that people are wanting to launch. They're looking at the products and saying, okay, you know, the product that is Reactivate Pro, there at Joker's with the cool look and the talent coming in and all the neat stuff that's going on, this would be a really good way to stream this, and this. And so we've got a few people building a few things with our product in mind. And I love the streaming that's going on. I mean, Prestige Streams, the Roseland Show, which was at the same time as our last show. And then, you know, you can watch 3-2-1 Battle every other Friday. And I wouldn't consider myself a regular in the Twitch line for them, but I'm there pretty often, checking in, watching matches, supporting my friends that are there. And I try to be a little bit more, chatty in the chat room as I've been there, because I do want to support them, and I want to be, you know, I'm just as much a fan as anybody else. But streaming is definitely something we're looking at. I'm looking at a lot of multi-platform streaming, so that we're streaming not just in one location. I want to stream in multiple places at the same time. So that's a lot of the stuff that we're building toward. It's just a slow process to get there.
As a promoter, I'm sure that one of the things you least want to see on one of your shows is an injury or some sort of mishap to one of the wrestlers or one of the other staff. Every promoter has that moment where they're watching their own show and something happens that scares them a little bit, be it an injury or an incident that looks like it could potentially injure a fan or what have you. What's been the scariest moment for you as you've watched one of your shows?
I always go back to this. I would have to go to episode one, the main event, which was the Black Sheep Dave Turner versus Sonico versus Ethan HG, when it spilled into the crowd. Dave going through the barricade and Sonico coming off the top of the merchandise section, Ethan HG coming off the top of the merchandise section, and all of the craziness that went on in that match. My heart was in my throat because, again, it was just the first show. It got a little wild in that regard, and I loved every second of it. But the business insurance owner side of me was definitely ready to pass out and or vomit. Outside of that, we've been pretty lucky so far with everything. I mean, everybody's been. You know, we've all walked away pretty unscathed overall, which is great. There's always that worry. There's always that fear. I mean, it is part of, you know, what we do. I would say definitely that for me was the scary moment so far. But it was fantastic. And, you know, those that were in attendance for episode one still talk about it.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by. I'm sure QT has questions for you as well, so I'm going to pass things to him for a bit.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Aaron.
Hello.
Aaron,
how are
you? I'm doing pretty good, pretty well. About to head off to work, my daily gig, in about a half hour.
okay.
Yes. Got to keep on working, yes. Keep that money
always
rolling in.
Of course.
Well, Aaron, I saw you reactivate pro wrestling YouTube match, the Fallen Flower Kikyo versus Danica Della Rouge. And I know this match took place at the Comedy Club. My question is, were you surprised that the Fallen Flower Kikyo had instrumental entrance music with no words, just strictly instrumental?
I had heard it before. The first time that I had heard it, I was pretty surprised.
Did you yourself, when you were wrestling, have entrance music?
I did.
Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans about what year was this when you first debuted your entrance music and what the band was or what the song was?
Well, I dodged the bullet in not being one of the guys that was coming out to, you know, Linkin Park, because at the time that was like every single guy. But no, I used there at the end for the most part. It was the Man Without Fear from the awful Daredevil movie soundtrack, which is by the Man Without Fear was by Drowning Pool and Rob Zombie.
Well, okay, Drowning Pool, Rob Zombie, very good. Okay, did they dim the lights when you came out, when you hit the music, or did they brighten them?
For the most part, I mean, a lot of my time was a dingy gym outside of Portland and some areas like that. But I know there wasn't any light dimming, or I didn't really need to. The lights were already pretty dim.
Well, okay, all right. Well, in your active days of wrestling, did you prefer tag team or singles competition?
Tag team, definitely. I love tag team wrestling. I still, to this day, I love tag team wrestling. It's hard for me a lot of times not to overfill my card with tag team wrestling because I love the dynamic of it. I feel like in a lot of ways, there's so many things you can do in a tag team match that you can't do in a singles match. And yeah, it's great to sign and to be, you know, in the spotlight and be the only guy. But yeah, tag team wrestling for me has always been a big thing. Even as a kid, I was always a big fan. So that was one of my things.
All right. Was the WWE tag team of Crime Time a big influence on you as a kid, or maybe the Hurricane and Rosie?
Not really. I'm actually quite a bit older than that. Crime Time wasn't one that I picked up with too much. Even Hurricane and Rosie, I love Hurricane, but no, I was a you know I was a Rockers, you know, kind of guy. Like that was a big one for me. You know, so some of the teams, like, you know, late 80s, early 90s, that was more of my influences.
Now, speaking of the Hurricane, who is the closest wrestler at Reactivate Pro Wrestling that would embody the characteristics of the Hurricane in mannerism?
Oh.
At Reactivate?
Oh, boy.
Would it be EKC himself?
Would it be who?
Would it be Ethan HD himself?
I don't know. I don't know. Ethan has it in him. He's kind of a superhuman type. He's a guy who can go out there and be pretty exciting. Honestly, if it got down to it, I think if he really wanted to put him in a, you know, superhero role, a guy who could really kind of bring that out would be a Cole Wright, because he moves so fluidly and he's so fast and so quick. And every motion, I mean, there's no wasted motions. Every move he makes is very heroic.
Oh, very heroic. Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Now, did you yourself suffer any concussions when you were wrestling? This is a medical condition that has greatly influenced boxing, high school football, pro football, and wrestling itself. Did you suffer any concussions?
I did. I suffered two. I had two in particular that I can that I dealt with.
Oh. Did you ever have a chance to meet Aaron Bolo and talk to him in length? Because he was a Northwest wrestler that suffered about five or six concussions, and he had a seizure and had to retire from pro wrestling. Aaron Bolo, the man from the mean streak of Seoul, South Korea.
Yes, actually, Aaron Bolo was in was working with ECCW up in Canada at the time. So I'm very familiar with Aaron Bolo. As a matter of fact, he, I'm not sure how, but he came across my Facebook page again the other day, probably because I was chatting with Stuart Kemp and some of the other guys from back then, catching up with some of them. But I had seen that he was seems to be doing well. He looks like he's doing well. And he was somebody I actually was very impressed with back then. I mean, we came about the same time, but he was somebody who was very impressive.
Did you ever have a chance to tag team with Aaron?
No, I actually didn't. I didn't ever work with Aaron. Again, the dark, what they considered the dark ages of pro wrestling in Washington State, I mean, you didn't really work for other companies. You worked for who you worked for, and that was it. And like I said, after my short tenure in Washington, I decided to go to Oregon instead, right about the time that the commissions got lifted down there. And so I spent more time in Oregon than I did in Washington.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, has the mysterious wrestler that has frequented La Problemita's, I'm talking about Darth Carta, has he made an appearance or two at Reactivate Pro Wrestling? Darth Carta.
He has not made an appearance that I'm aware of. I have been told to keep an eye out for him. But I've never been in his presence that I'm aware of. I've heard he can be a bit sneaky.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's a, okay. Yeah, he seems to fade in and out of everyone's consciousness. He's a good fader.
Okay.
Well, okay. All right. Now, have you yourself been in touch with Northwest wrestler Ethan HD, whom we spoke of before, and his efforts to save a Northwest business, Destiny City Comics?
Yes, I have. Actually, I shared his posts on Facebook and have been kind of keeping tabs on it. We are definitely supporters of what he's doing, and you know, I certainly hope that everything goes well and wish him the best. He's someone I have a lot of respect for. And again, he was at episode one and we chat occasionally. I posted a thing the other day on Facebook about how, he would always be invited to the barbecue. I mean, again, I like Ethan quite a bit. I will actually probably see him here in a couple of days.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, did you know, as a youth, a huge collector of comic books was bass guitarist Gene Simmons?
I did not know that, no. It doesn't surprise
me,
though.
Yes, as a kid, he immigrated from Israel, and he settled in New York, and he started collecting comic books. And he, at one point in like 1977, all four of the original members of KISS produced a line of KISS comic books and, with Stan Lee of Marvel Comics. And it is rumored that all four members pricked their fingertips and contributed their blood for the red ink in KISS comics.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting factoid. I did not know that.
Yes, it's your homework assignment, Aaron, to look up the story of KISS Comics and Stan Lee and Marvel Comics, the history of. That's your homework.
I will do that.
Okay. Very good. All right. Now, Aaron, did you yourself go out for wrestling or football in high school?
I was a baseball player mostly, and then later in my high school career is where I picked up wrestling. I got into wrestling with a local city team in a freestyle amateur wrestling, which I picked up really quickly. I was pretty good at it right off the bat, and I think I have to attribute that a lot to the guys that I was working with that had been, you know, had been doing it for a long time, and they were amazing coaches. And I spent the first month just getting beaten and beaten and beaten and beaten, but they were so good at what they did. It was hard not to learn.
Oh, fantastic. You know, that wrestling is very good for any kid to learn self-defense and balance. Self-defense, yes. Very good.
I agree. Actually, my son just recently turned 6, and I'm talking with one of the coaches for a city team that starts at about that age. I'm interested in having him wrestle.
Oh, very good. Okay. All right. You'll have to keep myself, Sign Guy, and this Darth Carta informed of how your son does in wrestling. Yes.
I will do that.
Okay. All right. Well, Aaron, who would win in a karaoke contest at the comedy club? You are Kyoko, the fallen flower. And do you believe Kyoko would choose the song Children of the Grave by Black Sabbath, while you yourself chose Bob Denver, James Taylor, or Jim Croce?
that would be tough. We'd have to see how that goes. I do pride myself on being quite the singer. I was a karaoke host for 15 years, and I'm
what do you believe that Kyoko would choose Children of the Grave by Black Sabbath?
You know, I don't think so, but it's possible. Kyoko is full of surprises. I have no idea.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, in her match at the comedy club, was that the first time you saw Kyoko?
No. Kyoko had worked for us. Let's see. She'd worked for us a couple times, and I had seen some of her stuff in other areas. And so I was pretty familiar with her work before we ever launched. And like I said, when it came down to choosing, I knew Danica and I had talked prior that she was going to come down for episode 2. And so when it came to choosing an opponent for her, timing lined up perfectly that Kyoko was coming back from her injury. And she'd been off for a year, was kind of getting back into, you know, being a part of the business behind the scenes and doing some stuff. And she had been cleared to come back to ring action right when episode 2 was going to happen. And so we ended up being her first match back from injury, and it was with Danica Del Rouge, and they tore the house down. I mean, it's still widely considered one of the best matches that has happened at Joker's Comedy Club.
That was a very good match. I saw the videos. I was surprised that Kyoko sometimes went up to the second turnbuckle to throw her. I mean, to climb up to the second turnbuckle and have that agility. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Especially after coming back from that knee injury, there was a lot of questions, a lot of concerns. They were fantastic. It was an amazing thing to watch.
Well, Aaron, as an owner of a wrestling company, I'm sure you have your break room for your wrestlers. Have any of the wrestlers been accused of taking yogurt out of the break room refrigerators that was not theirs? And as an owner, did you have to install security cameras to ease all the wrestler minds of the cereal yogurt stealer.
Nothing that's been brought to my attention, no. No, I haven't installed cameras anywhere, so.
Oh, you haven't, okay. All right. But you do have a break room for the wrestlers with a refrigerator, don't you?
Yes, we do.
Oh, I knew it. Okay, very good. Well, these are important questions to ask. Very good. Okay. Well, Aaron, what did you think of Danica De La Rouge and her October 4th trip to the Los Angeles Staples Center for a WWE SmackDown session? Have you heard the results of that?
I've heard a little bit. Yeah, I was super excited for her. I think that's fantastic, and I love to see her, you know, I mean, in her words, spread her wings and do all these cool things and go to all the I'm one of those. I'm a big fan, and I know that there is no limit to what Danica De La Rouge is capable of.
Oh, very good. You're probably right there. Okay. Well, Aaron, can you tell us about the Zach Cooper that has signed up for your Reactivate Pro Wrestling card, Episode 5 Trick or Treat, Zach Cooper? And is there a possibility that he will go up against one of my favorite wrestlers in the Northwest, Mikey Mustache?
Only time will tell. Zach is a former member of the International Superstars. He's somebody I've had an eye on for a while. He's hitting, very agile for a big guy. And I'm excited to see him and Chase James go, because they're both, they've got fighting backgrounds and tough guys. And I'm assuming they're just going to smack each other's heads off, and it's going to be a treat for all the Reactivate fans.
Wow, very good. Very nice. Okay, all right. Well, Aaron, do you believe that one day that referee Aubrey Edwards will be a charter member of the inaugural member of the first class Hall of Fame member for Reactivate Pro Wrestling? Do you see her as a charter member?
Absolutely, 100%.
Oh, very good. Okay. Do you currently have a referee named Kendall Marie?
I do. She is on the shelf right now because she is injured, but absolutely, she is one of our referees. She's been with us since episode one.
Ooh, she got injured, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Aaron, we play a game on Turnbuckle Turmoil called Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk. And you are given a choice between two subject matters, and you have to pick the one that suits you better, or you would think would make a better choice for you. Are you ready to play this limited Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk before I give it back over to Sun Guy?
Sure.
Oh, okay. All right. Your first one, Scottish kilt or three-piece Armani suit?
Oh, boy. I'd go three-piece Armani suit.
Oh, very nice. Okay. All right. And these results are going to be published on my Facebook page. Yes.
Okay.
All right. Leapin' Lanny Poffo or Coco Beware?
Oh. Coco Beware.
Okay, you can. Okay. Camel clutch or front face lock?
Oh, camel clutch. That was the move. I mean, again, I mentioned that my grandma was bigot. My grandma hated the Iron Sheik.
Well, so did Andre the Giant. Yes. Okay. And your last one, Stan Marsh of South Park or Linda Belcher of Bob's Burgers?
Stan Marsh. I'm a big South Park fan. I never really got into Bob's Burgers. I mean, I caught it a few times, but I was a big South Park fan for a long time.
okay. All right. In your opinion, does Stan Marsh bear a striking resemblance to Mikey Mustache?
Yeah, I think if you put a mustache on Stan, I think we could make that work.
Wow.
See some fan art coming. I see some fan art coming.
Okay. Well, Aaron, it was very good talking with you. And at this moment, I'm going to pass it back over to the sign guy.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Back to you, sign guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Aaron, one of the things that a lot of independent companies are doing now is joining an affiliated promotion. You have affiliated groups like the AIWF, UIWA, World Underground Wrestling. The NWA is sort of still an affiliated promotion. Is an affiliation something that you've given any consideration to for Reactivate Pro, or are you happy just staying on your own?
I'm pretty happy doing what we're doing. I think if the situation was a good fit, there's always room for conversations. And I know there's probably a lot of people who are getting tired of me saying that, but I'm always up for the conversation. There's never a time where I'm going to say, you know, the answer is no. I'm always up for conversations. I'm always up to see, because I'm a guy who's very, very big on working win-win. As long as it's a win for me and it's a win for you, it's at least worth having the conversation about. But I'm a hard sell, too, is I'm a guy who you've got to show me how it's a win for me, because I'm not just going to take your word for it. I mean, I've been managing commission sales environments for a long time. So I've got to actually see where is the win in it for me, where is the win in it for you. Because I've got the same thing too, is if there's an obvious win for me, but I don't see the win for you, I'm also not interested.
Now, when you're considering outside talent, I know you haven't had a lot of that so far, but if you're looking at guys from some of the larger independent groups where some of the national companies that allow outside bookings, like your Impact Wrestling, your Ring of Honor, your CZW, that type of independent guy coming in, do you have many conversations with guys like that, or do you just keep a mental index of people you think might eventually be a good fit, or is this something that you don't really see Reactivate having an interest in at this point?
Well, being a young company, obviously in a lot of cases the financial end of it is always forefront of my mind. I have to make sure that if it's something that we do or someone that we bring in, I have to make sure that it's going to be, again, it's going to be a win. It's going to be beneficial. I've had a lot of these conversations, actually. I've had conversations with various talent from Impact and other places. Like I said, people have reached out to me, hey, would you be interested? And my response as always is, I'm always willing to have the conversation. So recently I've chatted with a guy who's a mainstay, comes to the Pacific Northwest on occasion. We're looking at scheduling right now to see if we can work it out. I've chatted with some other people who either have ties to the Tri-City area, maybe family or friends that are here. And I have a few names that are in my ear right now that I haven't used yet, who, again, have those same kind of ties to people here in the Tri-Cities. But as I look at it, again, the thing that I run into is the people here in the Tri-Cities, the fans that are coming out to the shows, are not diehard wrestling fans. So they don't know who the Impact wrestlers are. They don't know who, you know, travels and works with MLW or things like that. They're, a lot of them are WWE people, or they're, you know, maybe now becoming AEW people. So there's a value issue there, is because, not to say that it wouldn't be great having some of them on, but some of the people have talked about, you know, oh, well, you know, I want this and we'll do this and this will make money. And I look at them, I'm not sure yet. We're still new. We're still figuring it out. So, there is that. And I'm actually booked to do ring announcing for SAPW, Support All Pro Wrestling, in Spokane here on October 27th. And that show, you have Marty the Moth Martin. I've got an opportunity to meet with those guys and, you know, again, additional conversations and things like that. So to say that I'm not interested would be wildly missing the mark. But again, I'm a win-win guy. I've got to see the win for everybody.
Well, Aaron, we're down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to give you plenty of time. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners today, plug and promote anything and everything, the social medias, the merchandise, the upcoming shows, anything you would like, floor is all yours.
Well, the number one thing I'm always going to say to anybody as a wrestling fan is to make sure you're supporting the promotions that make sure you're supporting the who you enjoy, because again, as a promoter, for me, that's a big gauge. I want to see, you know, if you're buying this guy's T-shirt or this girl's pins or whatever it might be, I want to see that stuff because that shows me that kind of value, and I love to see that stuff. And obviously, the more support the wrestlers and talent and the promotions can get, the more of this stuff that we get to do. So I'm always going to throw that out there. As far as social media goes, you can find us on Facebook at Reactivate Professional Wrestling.
You can find us on Twitter
at Reactivate Pro NW. Recently launched just the YouTube page, which doesn't have any content yet. As I'll put some things, I've got a few other things. There's a new Patreon coming and a few other opportunities. And then the website, reactivateprowrestling.com, which is where you can find our merchandise store, because we couldn't do what we do without our sponsors, like Sunken Treasures Games, Uptown Phone, and DC Repair, Wrestling with the Truth. We have a lot of great sponsors, a lot of great people backing us in what we do. So we do have our sponsor page on the website as well, which we always strongly recommend people go check out and go support them as well.
Aaron, it was absolutely great having you on the program today. We appreciate you taking time out of your day to be with us, and I'm sure I will see you in the not-too-distant future.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Thank you, Sign Guy. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Fans, definitely, if you're anywhere near the Tri-Cities, Washington area, go check out Reactivate Pro Wrestling. Fantastic shows. A lot of great talent that really enjoys getting out there and performing. So check them out. Support what they do. It's a great young company. Lots of really great up-and-coming talent. I think you'll be impressed with what they're doing. We'll be back with you Sunday. We are continuing on with Moonshine Month. We will have JB Moonshine. So make sure you have plans to be with us then. Come find me at one of the bookings I'll be at tomorrow, either in Auburn, Washington or Bremerton, Washington. Three promotions in one day. Let's see if I get through it. And we'll talk to you soon.